Help us to grow in grace this morning and grow to know the quality of life, Father, that you've intended for us as your children. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The story this morning is often titled The Story of the Rich Young Ruler. That's a composite title gathered from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He is an admirable man. A lot of times I hear the story quoted and we see him as an evil man because he wouldn't follow Jesus, but actually he had very many admirable qualities. If we look throughout the story, this young man had an even temperament, a very quiet temperament. When he came to Jesus, you can see throughout the story, as he spoke with Jesus, his temperament remained the same. He was quiet, he was calm, he was questioning, he was searching. He never became angry with Jesus' responses. But he continued to watch Jesus and continued to keep that temperament even. He was also a man of great discernment. He discerned that in Jesus there was something about Jesus that was different from anyone he'd ever met before. He went to him and he said, "Good teacher." And that was very uncommon. You see, they didn't even call the Pharisees good teachers. Only God is good. But he went and he knelt before this man and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He was a man of discernment. He knew there was something special about this man, Jesus Christ, that the rest of his ruler peers probably could not see or did not see. He was a man of great courage. You see, he went up as a ruler and knelt before this peasant man, Jesus. He knelt, is what it says in Mark. Probably in his robe of purple, he knelt while Jesus had his peasant clothes on. And by this time in Jesus' ministry, the rest of the rulers of the Jews had approached Jesus with antagonism. They were very angry at Jesus. They had turned against Jesus. And yet this man, this ruler of the Jews, this rich young ruler, went in front of a great crowd, his peers, with courage, and he knelt before Jesus. He was a man of conviction. A lot of times we have conviction, but we don't have the courage to carry it through. This man had the courage to carry it through despite what anybody thought of him. He had the courage to carry it through to find out this question that he had. He was a humble man. He had no problem kneeling before Jesus. Though he was a ruler and Jesus was a peasant, he had no problem kneeling. He was a man of great humility. He was a man who had a clean record. When Jesus asked him, "Have you kept the commandments?" and he listed the commandments, "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, honor your father and mother, do not steal." He said, "I've kept all these things." Now some people question whether he really kept them or not, but to be bold enough in front of all his peers who knew him very well to say, "Yes, I've kept them," he must have been a man of clean record. Jesus asked him, "Have you kept these things?" And he said, "Yes, I have." Jesus never denied that he didn't. He was a man with a clean record. He was a very highly moral person. And he was a man of high aspirations. It's very unusual for a man who's a ruler of his people to be concerned with his own soul. Oftentimes with the wealth and with the power, we don't need to be concerned, or we don't think that we need to be concerned with our own soul. And yet he wanted everything that there was in life. He wanted what this man, Jesus Christ, had. He saw this quality of life that Christ had, this eternal life, and he said, "I want this eternal life." And the Greek word means the age abiding life, which implies more than everlasting life. It implies a life that is special, that is joy-filled, that is full, that is complete. And he wanted that completeness in his life. And for some reason, despite the fact that he was wealthy, despite the fact that he was a ruler, despite the fact that he seemed to have everything the world had to offer, he knew he lacked that age-abiding life that he saw, that he discerned in Jesus Christ. And he wanted to know what that was. He went to him and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That same question we all ask. We all ask, what is it that I can, how can I get that age-abiding life? We know, we see it on the commercials, and we see it everywhere that we go, and we hear it, that the more wealthy you are, the better off you are. Or the better looks that you have, the better off you are. And yet we know deep in our hearts that's not true. We know that no matter how much wealth we have, or no matter how much power we have, there's still something lacking in our life. There's still something more to life than that. He went with that question. We all go with that same question before Jesus. Jesus responds to us all in a similar way. And yet out of our own stories as he responded to this man. Jesus' response, he did not answer the man right away. He gave him two responses. The first thought was this. He said, "You call me good." You're a discerning man. He knew that. He said, "You call me good. Only God is good." Now at this point, Jesus could have been saying only one of two things to the man. He had to have been saying either, "You call me good. Only God is good. I'm not good. Don't call me good. I'm not good." Or he had to be saying, "I am God. You call me good. Only God is good. You call me good. That's because I'm God." He had to have been answering the man with one of those two questions. Whatever we know, with one of those two responses. Whatever we know at this point in the story, we know that he's trying to get the man to think, to discern further about what he's asking about this question of eternal life. Then he says to the man, "You know the commandments. You know what you're supposed to do. Do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not do these things." At this point, Jesus lists the commandments out of the second table of the law in Exodus. There was two tables in the law, in the Decalogue, in Moses' law, in the Ten Commandments. There was two tables. The first table dealt with man, the human relationship to God. The second table dealt with the human relationship to other humans. Jesus mentioned, all of the ones he mentioned were out of the second table of the law, the human relationship with the human. He said, "You're a good man. Have you kept all these commandments?" And the man said, "Yes, I have." You see, Jesus couldn't have asked him the first set, and the man, if Jesus had asked him the first set, the man could have not have responded yes. And we'll find that out as we look in the story. The ruler's response went like this, and I want to read it. He said, "All these things have I kept since I was a boy." Then Jesus said, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." The man said, "I've done all these things, but I still lack something in my life." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Yes, you do lack one thing. You're good and you're moral, and you've done all these things in your life, and you're discerning, and you're wealthy, and you're a ruler, and you have power, but you lack one thing in your life." And the man said, "Yes, I know that. What is it?" And he said to him, "Come and follow me." But you say, "Jim, you skipped something in there." Yes, I did. Because what he said before that statement is incidental to the statement, "Come follow me." You see, Jesus put his finger on that thing that was keeping the man from following Jesus. The problem was that he needed to follow Jesus for that quality of life and learn that from Jesus. It's not being good, it's learning from the one who is good, and that is Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Come and follow me." And before that, he said, this is what is keeping you from coming and following me. You are a wealthy man. Your God is your wealth. Now, he didn't come out exactly and say that. Jesus never worked that way. But what he did was he said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, then come follow me. In each of our lives, coming and following Jesus is the problem. But Jesus seeks to put his finger on that thing in your life and in my life. From each of our own story, that thing that is keeping us from following him. But following him is the issue, or not following him. But that quality of life that the man was looking for was to come and follow in Jesus. It couldn't have been in going and selling all to the poor, because if that was the case, if that's all it was, then the man would have probably been more of a moralist after he did it than he was before. Hey, I went and I sold everything I have to the poor. I sold everything, gave it to the poor. I'm a pretty good guy. Jesus never claimed good works would give him eternal quality of life, that eternal life. That couldn't have been the only thing. It was come and follow me. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if I go and sell all that I have and give it to the poor, and yet lack love, what does it profit me? You see, it was coming and following that was the key. Well, what happened? The story says this, the man went away sad because he was very wealthy. Now, I want you to hear the paradox in that. And I want you to compare it to our society now. Listen to the paradox. The man went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. That doesn't make sense. Yes, it does make sense. But we say, well, he had great wealth. He was happy. If I can just have one more thing, I'll be happy. If I can be wealthy, if I can be rich, if I can have these things, I will be happy. The scripture says the man went away sad, for he was a man of great wealth. The paradox. What happened to the man? There's a story about a man named Diogenes. He lived in the 4th century B.C. He was a Greek philosopher. And this man espoused that the simple life was the way to go. It's kind of funny when we hear the story, but he was very serious about it. He decided that all he needed in life to be happy was to own a tub to live in. So he bought him a tub and he lived in the tub. And that's all he did, sat in the tub. He ate in the tub, he did everything he needed to do in the tub. He sunbathed in the tub, whatever it was he wanted to do. And the people were very intrigued by him. And Alexander the Great, the man who had conquered the world, had everything he owned. But he knew there was something he lacked in his life. He went to this man and he said, I'll be your disciple. I'll follow you. You're a man of great contentment. All you own is a tub. I'll follow you. And Diogenes looked at him and said this. He said, you want to be my disciple? Take these 2 dead fish. Put them in your cloak and wear them around for 2 weeks. Never take them off. Now Alexander the Great looked at him and said, you are crazy. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that for anybody. Certainly wouldn't do that for you. And the man looked at him and said, such devotion dissipated or lost over 2 dead fish. Well, Alexander the Great went to a man who had contentment. But this rich young ruler was in the presence, and somehow his discernment seems to tell us that he knew he was in the presence of not a man who had contentment, but of the man who was eternal life. I am the life, Jesus said. And he was in the presence of God, in the presence of the man who had life. Jesus said, follow me. Now, when he made the statement, you call me good, only God is good. After making that statement, when he turned to the man and he said, you want eternal life, you follow me, it would have been blasphemous unless he was not God. And unless in that other statement he was not telling the man, you call me good? Only God is good? Come follow me. You see that? He was telling the man, I am God. And it would have been blasphemous for him to say, follow me, if it weren't. Well, I can imagine Jesus looked at him and said, such devotion lost over a few things, over one thing in your life. You're so close. You have it all. You're right here at the altar. You have it so close. And that one thing is keeping you from the devotion to the eternal God, to me, to having that eternal life, that life that you seek. All of us come this morning looking for that life. And Jesus seeks to point out in your life and in my life that thing that is keeping us from coming to a complete and abandonment for Jesus Christ and for His love and for His ways. He says, follow me. In the Matthew 10:39 scripture we looked at, it says, whoever finds his life loses it. That means whoever finds his life in this world, if you find the life in the wealth or in the other things, whatever it is in your story that is keeping you find that, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it for my sake, then you will find eternal life. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Each of us has something in our life that is keeping us, that you desire to put your finger on, that is keeping us from a total abandonment, a completeness in following you. Lord, you knew what it was in this rich young ruler's life. And you know what it is in our lives today. We count on you, Father, this morning to show that to us, to each of us that's coming searching for eternal life. And that, Father, I pray that in each of our hearts we would realize that it is coming and following you that is the key to that life. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to follow you in every single matter and every single point in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.